Welcome to another gathering of the Gold Key Adventurers Society. Have a seat by the fire as we prepare to help you unlock the secrets of the travel life. From theme park thrills to Purple Mountain's majesty, we want to see it all and do it all, and we want to help you do the same. We all have those bucket list trips, once-in-a-lifetime destinations that we'll get to someday. We're here to help you make your travel dreams a reality. Buy the ticket, take the trip. Where do you want to go?
Come on, come on, come on. I'll tell you what's on your bucket list. Okay, hey, okay, hey. It's a beautiful day. Okay, hey, okay, hey. It's a beautiful day.
Hey, thanks for joining us again. We're back with news from around the world of travel, and Jess has the scoop on some exciting new theme park hotels opening up around Orlando. So strap on your packs and polish up your compass. It's time to hit the trail again with the Gold Key Adventurer Society. All right. Hey there, Jess. How's it going?
Great, Dan. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm excited to start talking travel. So let's get straight to the news. What's on the horizon here?
Let's see. So I guess in the theme park world, few things have happened in the past week or so. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Walt Disney World quietly opened up reservations for the Cantina, the lightsaber building, and the droid building. It was kind of interesting because those just sort of appeared to open, and they didn't even announce that they were opened, I think, until the next day. But within a few days, as far as I can tell, for the next few months, I suppose, I guess they're only open until February. Most things are booked, at least as far as the Cantina goes. So those opened up and filled up pretty quick. It was also sort of a indicator that we had never gotten an official word on how the opening would go, if they were going to do things sort of the same way they did them at Disneyland with reservations to enter the land. And I guess with this, it pretty much goes without saying that they're just going to open the doors and kind of let everybody in on opening day.
So that means if you've got a reservation to one of those attractions, you're guaranteed entry, even if the line's 10 miles long?
You know, they didn't say anything. I would assume they'd have a big problem on their hands if, you know, they hit capacity and then they started turning away people who made reservations ahead of time. And also, you know, that's money lost for them. So I don't know how they're going to handle that. Like, I'm surprised at how vague they've been about it. And I mean, we'll find out when you and I are both down there for opening day, but it's going to be interesting to see how that opening goes compared to Disneyland.
Yeah, hopefully, I'm sure there's some kind of crowd control. Maybe they'll have a specific line you go to if you've got a reservation at a certain time frame or something. I don't know. Hopefully, because I don't want to get trampled.
Yeah, I would trust that they've thought of these things and hope that it works out. Because I have my reservation. I'm not doing anything until the next day. I have my lightsaber reservation for the next day. But, I mean, I assume that it's going to be pretty packed throughout that opening weekend anyway. So they're going to hit capacity, I would suspect, a few times.
Yeah, be prepared to be there at 4 a.m. and and camp out. Because...
Yuck.
Maybe they'll bring out breakfast. Maybe they'll bring out some Mickey waffles for everybody waiting in line or something.
Oh, yeah. That'll be nice. Hot Mickey waffles at 80 degrees in the middle of the night in Florida.
Sounds like heaven. All right. Well, coming from the nature travel department, I've got this story here for you. I don't know if you remember back in the spring, California had a big problem with... a giant tide of tourisms who crashed the party. I believe that the flowers everybody wanted to see was poppies. There was a huge, they called it a super bloom of poppies there, and everybody came and trampled the countryside and looked like a Viking horde coming over the hills to take their Instagram pictures with these flowers. Well, if you missed your chance to get in on that, there's a new super bloom that is just about to hit peak season right now, and we're talking about the sunflower crop. And turns out that North Dakota is one of the largest producers of sunflowers in the nation, and they are set to have a bumper crop year. And the height of the sunflower bloom is right about now, mid to late August. And the National Sunflower Association reports that over 480,000 acres of sunflowers have been planted this year. So I want to get your picture perfect, your Instagram posts ready. Head on up to North Dakota. It's quite a trek, but I guess if you're into that, it is definitely worth the trip.
So are there people that like that flower watch the same as, say, like a bird watcher? If there's enough of them to trample like nature areas just to get photos, I'm just personally surprised. I mean, I love a good flower, but you know, I see them all the time.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot easier to, at least to spot them than it is, you know, your sapsucker or some kind of whatever, insert funny bird name here. But
I think like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I think with the flowers, I think it comes down to everybody's favorite. Some influencer on social media posted a picture in the middle of a field of flowers and everybody else came running because they wanted the same picture. I know that it's actually kind of become a problem there in California, and there's some other places that have these incredible natural features, but they're having huge impact from tourists coming, and all they want is a picture with the flowers or the trees or something, and they're leaving behind trash and stuff. So, you know, if you're going to go on one of these trips, yeah, it's an incredible sight, but you know, make sure that all you take is the pictures. Don't leave your garbage behind, and be respectful of nature and the people who already live there. All right, what's next up on your list?
Let's see. So we have the opening of Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party at the Magic Kingdom this month, and right at the same time, Disney released a new season pass to all Halloween parties for this year except Halloween night.
That's a lot of parties.
It's a lot of parties, and strangely, the ticket really isn't that much. It's only a little over 300. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, because it's like $299 plus tax.
But what's great about it is if you've already purchased a ticket for this year, you can go and upgrade your ticket, and the price you've already paid will be applied to that season pass.
And that's what? That works out to just over three parties price-wise, and you get access to, what, like 30?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's about over 30. They're definitely getting the locals in with that.
Right, because that's who this ticket's for, obviously.
Yeah, and people like me who go down way too much. But, I mean, if I lived in Florida, I would do that immediately without hesitation. I love Halloween, and obviously I love Disney World, so.
Right, yeah, that's definitely a good way to get in for the not-so-spooky fun. Not-so-scary fun.
And sweaty. It's so hot during that party. Yeah, that's my tip for anybody planning to go. If you're going to dress up in a costume, make sure it's a costume that requires like shorts and a t-shirt, because it can be pretty brutal, especially like the earlier parties.
Yes, for sure.
All right, what have you got?
So this is a nice story to hear. You know, we love travel and we want everybody to be able to travel. And that includes people who might have a little bit of difficulties with mobility and getting around. So I've got a story out of Pensacola, Florida. The beaches there have just announced that they are now accessible to everybody who might have limited mobility. They've installed a series of special non-slip mats leading out to the beach so that people who are wheelchair bound or might have a tougher time walking will have a little bit easier time getting out there to the sand. And you can also rent these beach wheelchairs. They have both motorized and non-motorized versions. They're like
they have those giant wheels on them.
Yeah, they got these giant balloon tires so that, you know, everybody can get out there to the beach and enjoy a relaxing day in the sun.
That's a really great idea. I'm surprised that I personally haven't heard of any other beach doing that. I'm sure there are others, but yeah, that's it. You would think by now we would have that kind of access to at least most of the popular beaches.
Yeah, I think you're going to see it spread a lot more. It's kind of like how in recent years, it hasn't been that long, you know, that people have started realizing that, oh, playgrounds aren't accessible to everybody, right? So you're starting to see that happen in playgrounds. I think you're going to see it in beaches and all these places where, you know, everybody wants to go. So let's make sure that everybody, that as many people as possible, have the opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's great.
All right, up next, what you got?
All right, so also back on the Walt Disney World train, the opening of the Food and Wine, the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. Got to get that all in there. The opening is going to be on the same day that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens, which is August 29th. So that should be interesting as far as attendance goes, I'm sure. I mean, Food and Wine Festival is Epcot's biggest festival, and now they've basically got one almost going at all times of the year. And so that's always a huge draw. They're expanding it out to 87 days this year. yeah. Wow. So once again, the next year's Food and Wine party starts tomorrow, you know. I'm going to beat that joke into the ground.
You and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just wrote up a really great guide to the Food and Wine Festival on themeparkprofessor.com. And yeah, they're going to have sort of the same things that they've had every year. There's going to be 30 food booths featuring food from around the world and different sort of culinary expertise.
So do we know anything about exciting new additions to the food offerings?
Yeah, they've got a few new additions. A few that stuck out to me. There's the Appleseed Orchard Marketplace. And this sticks out to me because I am a huge cider fan. I don't like beer, but I love cider. And this one's going to have apple-inspired beers, ciders, and cocktails paired with charcuterie and cheese, which, I mean, it's cheese and bread, and that you can't go wrong with that. So,
yeah, sausage, meat.
Yeah, yeah. And exactly. And beer and cider, like that, that's all wonderful in my book. yeah, and then there's another one that stuck out to me was the Alps Marketplace. And it's going to have Swiss cheese and baby potatoes with cornichons and a baguette. Once again, basically anything with cheese in it, I'm going to be there. I just scanned all the menus and made sure to pick out anything with cheese or cider. So that's what I'm shooting for.
You got those on the checklist.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so they'll have the food booths. They have seminars with pairings, celebrity chefs hosting seminars. It's basically a whole lot of entertainment. It's probably their biggest festival as well. And not to mention the Eat to the Beat concert series, where you can find out finally who let the dogs out, because Baha Men will be performing. So yeah, that's coming up on August 29th, and that is going to be going all the way through mid-November, November 19th.
I am excited to, I'm still dreaming of the crispy pork belly dish that I got from the Brazil Pavilion last fall.
I'm pretty sure that one's coming back. We do have a list of all the booths and their menus over on themeparkprofessor.com. So please go check that out, and you can start making your list of everything you want to eat after we check out Galaxy's Edge and then move on from there.
Sounds perfect. We're going to go across the sea to England, to the Cornish coast, and the legendary birthplace of King Arthur, that's Tintagel Castle. And for the first time in 500 years, the gatehouse on the mainland side is now connected again to the main central fortifications of the castle across the sea on the island. The two have been separated by a deep gorge for 500 years after an ancient land bridge collapsed. This new bridge has been built to connect it. You previously had to go down these treacherous winding paths down to the sea along the cliff and then climb up the cliffs on the other side. Now you can cross the bridge over the giant moat like any proper Arthurian knight would to visit the birthplace of Arthur.
You're saying I can storm the castle now, right?
Yes, exactly. You can more easily storm the castle. It looks pretty neat. It's not like lately see-through glass bridges have been kind of trendy at tourist places like this. Instead, they built it to look like it was made out of rock, like it might have been. and it just looks really awesome. It's a really tall bridge, so you go out over the water and the rocks, and you can live out your fantasies of being a knight. It kind of reminds me of the bridge in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where they have to stop and answer questions 3 and then summarily get tossed into the water. So you can also live out that fantasy if you want. Bring your coconuts.
Excalibur not included, right?
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Okay, what's up next?
Let's see. So Walt Disney World again. You know, they're the big news provider as far as theme parks go. They released an interesting new ticket, a Midday Magic ticket. And what this is it's a ticket that gets you into the parks post 12 p.m. through the rest of the day until park closing for a pretty reduced rate. It's interesting, and they're selling this at, you can get this as a 2, 3, or 4 day ticket as well. Starting at 2 days, it's basically $88 per day. So that breaks it down to less than you're paying for a full day. But I guess they're just trying to sort of fill up the evenings in the parks, make sure that they've got full attendance in the evenings. They've been doing a lot of their early morning magic events, and a lot of the extra magic hours have been switched to early mornings. And when Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens, they're going to be opening that plus, I think, Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom at 6 a.m. So,
yeah, the extra morning magic hours. The,
oh my God, why are you up this early ticket? That didn't sell, so they had to go to the...
So the real headline here is Disney has finally figured out that some guests want to sleep in on their vacation instead of being there at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, I think this is definitely tapping into folks who may want to spend the first half of their day doing one of the other activities at the resort, playing golf, checking out water parks. Yeah, ESPN, Wide World of Sports, that kind of thing. And then still be able to go and enjoy the parks, but not feel like they're wasting, I guess, their full day. So it makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure this will be something for locals who maybe don't want to buy season pass or annual pass, but still want to be able to get in for a few afternoons here and there. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Didn't they used to do like a Epcot evening?
Yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, they used to have sort of, and that one makes sense too. This one can be for any park. So it's interesting they're expanding it out.
Yeah, make it easier for everybody to get in when they want to get in. And yeah, sounds good. I've got one more for you. We're talking instead of theme parks, just amusement parks. Kings Island Amusement Park in just north of Cincinnati, Ohio, had a big announcement this week. They are bringing a new Giga Coaster to the park. It will be opening in 2020. And you might be asking, what exactly is a Giga Coaster? Well, they're terrifying roller coasters. Giga Coaster.
Is Giga the sound that you make when you're riding it? Just like, Giga. That's the sound.
Yeah. yeah, Giga Coasters are any roller coaster that has reaches a height or has a drop anywhere between 300 to 399 feet, which is
a big nope from me. That's a no from me, dog. Sorry, that's a
yeah, because you know what you think about? You think about that that lift hill up there. This isn't launch. They're dragging you up
there.
Yeah,
I never have problems with roller coasters once they're moving. It's the getting to that point. And you know, when I was a kid, it wasn't a big deal because we had wooden roller coasters that just went up and down, you know. And it didn't. But you see, like, you know, Rip Ride Rocket at Universal Orlando, and it's a complete vertical ascension. And yeah, that to me, and I've seen it get stuck on the way up to that and just sitting there. And as long as the roller coaster is moving, I'm having a great time. Don't get me stuck on something like that. Can't do it. So yeah, a Giga Coaster doesn't sound like my cup of tea, but it sounds exciting.
Yeah, it certainly does. So this ride is going to be the first drop will be exactly 300 feet and will take you on a ride that will have seven what they call the airtime hills, where you zoom up there so fast that it feels like you're at zero G's when you hit the top. It's going to reach a top speed of 91 miles an hour, which sounds awfully fast, but it's only actually the seventh fastest roller coaster in North America.
Wow.
And the track is going to be just over a mile long. So opening in 2020, if that kind of thrill is your thing, head to Kings Island in Cincinnati to see Orion.
And then write in and tell us how it is, since I'm not going to be riding it. But I'd love to know how you...
Yeah, send us that in-ride picture of your of the face that you're making right on that one. Yep. All right. You got anything else?
I think that's good for me today.
That's all the news that's fit to print, as they say. All right. So then coming up next, we're going to talk about some exciting new hotels that have recently opened at the Orlando theme parks, as well as some exciting ones that are coming in the near future. So we'll be talking about that soon. But first, a word from our sponsor. When it comes to planning your next adventure, knowledge and preparation are always key. That's why a call to your Key to the World Travel Vacation Planner should always be at the top of your to-do list when you feel the urge to venture forth and explore the world. Key to the World Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner, specializing in travel to Disney theme parks around the world, as well as Disney Cruise Line, Aulani, and Adventures by Disney. With over 450 travel advisors who share a deep love for Disney destinations, Key to the World Travel has a wealth of knowledge and passion to help you experience all the magic with none of the work. Wherever your wanderlust is driving you, Key to the World Travel is a full-service travel agency with the expertise to get you where you want to go. So whether you're headed to Universal Studios, Hawaii, Europe, or somewhere a little farther off the beaten track, your first step should always be to visit www.keytotheworldtravel.com for a no-obligation quote. Their expert travel planners are standing by to help you with every detail of your perfect vacation. That's www.keytotheworldtravel.com or at Key to the World Travel on Facebook. Key to the World Travel, your key to a magical vacation. And we're back. All right. So we're going to talk about some exciting hotels that recently opened up in the Orlando area. And you got to experience both of them firsthand. So we're going to talk about the new offering at Walt Disney World first.
Yeah. I got to go down and stay for the grand opening media event of the Grandestino Tower at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort. Again, another big mouthful as far as hotel names go. And but yeah, that hands down, it's probably now one of my top three places to stay at Walt Disney World. I was absolutely blown away. This is basically just an addition. It's a tower addition to the standing moderate resort that exists already. And so it's basically just a tower addition that they've added in with some new touches. It's got about 545 new guest rooms, including 50 new suites, and it's sort of themed to an old short film that was started between Salvador Dali and Walt Disney called Destino. The film was ultimately never finished by them.
Actually,
but it was as we learned while we were touring the hotel. It was finished later and then released a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Mid 2000s.
Yeah. I'm getting old. Everything seems like it just happened, you know, so that's on me.
Yeah, it was kind of like Walt Disney struck up a friendship with Dali around the time of Fantasia, I believe. And this was going to be kind of his next arty move after Fantasia was he was going to tackle a film with Dali.
It's surrealist sort of, it has a narrative to it, but it's not like anything that Disney had done before. It is definitely more on the surrealist Dali side of things. And so that they've taken references to that film and the look and the feel of the film and placed that into the theming, which is absolutely beautiful. So a lot of Spanish a lot of Spanish architecture, a lot of bright, vibrant reds mixed in with golds, and kind of whites and ivories. It doesn't feel like a Disney moderate hotel when you walk in. I would say it's on par with, or even better as far as the feel of the hotel, of the tower itself, to the deluxe resorts at Walt Disney World. I mean, I was...
Oh, yeah, because it's fresher. Fresher and it's gorgeous. It is.
They really did not sort of spare any detail, and that shows. It's got a lot of state-of-the-art additions to it. The elevators all sort of work on their own. There's no buttons inside the elevator cars, which kind of threw me off. You choose your floor outside the elevator, and then the elevator will take you there. And I guess this is to function so that they move faster and skip certain floors.
Isn't that kind of like how the elevators at Disneyland?
Paradise Pier?
Yeah, Paradise Pier.
I haven't stayed. That's
remember
the one
those elevator pods?
Yeah.
We toured it.
That's right.
They have those pods and you tell it where you're going and it tells you which elevator number to look for.
Yeah, that's exactly like that. My memory did not serve me. So, it is. The rooms are a lot like what the trend is now as far as hotel rooms go. They're sort of not doing carpeting anymore in the rooms. So it's got It's got that wood flooring. I'm pretty sure it's faux wood, but it's nice. It gives it a really nice clean look. Walk-in showers. It's amazing. What's really beautiful.
Oh, yeah, those bathrooms are those bathrooms look, just luxurious.
Oh yeah. It is. It has a deluxe feel to it. I couldn't get over it. The lobby is really amazing. It's a split level lobby. So they've got the check-in area, seating, bell services, those sort of things on the top level. And then the bottom level has extra seating as well as a bar that sort of switches to a grab and go quick service location for breakfast. So in the mornings, you can come down and go to the bar and be able to grab, pastries, coffee, things like that. And then in the afternoons and evenings, it switches into a full service bar, which has amazing views of the water right at the resort, the small lake. I cannot get over it. I'm going to be staying there again in a few weeks, and I am very excited. Yeah. I immediately booked to stay after the media event, after I stayed there for that. I was like, one night is not enough. I have to come back. So,
yeah, you got to see it all. Did they have up and running the fancy TVs in the rooms?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that. They have these great new TV systems that they are going to be rolling out to every Walt Disney World hotel eventually.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was really cool. When you walk in... the TV has sort of an interactive menu to it where you can view your reservations through like your My Disney Experience account. You can view your photos taken through the PhotoPass system. There are a selection of Disney movies on demand for free that you can pull up when you need to get your kid to just sort of sit still for a little while. And the thing that I love the most was a basic Chromecast function. So for those of you who don't know what Chromecast is, it's a way for you to display video from your phone or your computer through your television. So things like Netflix, Amazon Prime Video has now added Chromecast function. You just have to type in a special code that the television gives you on a website through your phone, and it automatically connects your device to the television, and then you can play anything you want from your own personal Netflix account or your own personal videos. And that was really nice. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time watching television when I'm at Walt Disney World in the hotel, but sometimes when I'm just exhausted and I want to relax, I don't want to have to sit and flip through the television. I want to, keep watching the episodes of The Office that I was watching. So that's exactly what I did.
I think I also saw, I don't want to spend all the time on the TVs, but I think I also saw that, don't they have webcams in the parks and you can watch what's going on in the parks from your room? So you can catch stage shows and, fireworks and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. That function, it was not up and running when I was in the room. It didn't give me that option, but I did read that was going to be a capability of it if it's not already.
Cool. that's pretty exciting. That way you don't miss things, or you know, get yourself ready for the next day. So any other highlights from that hotel? The food?
Yeah, it's
I've heard that the food is pretty awesome.
Yeah, the food is amazing. The views from the upper levels where the restaurants are, where the restaurant is, the Toledo Tapas and Steak. Yeah, it's amazing. You can see portions of Hollywood Studios. I'm sure I wasn't up there during the evening, but I know that you get views of the fireworks from various parts of the resort. It's also the only moderate resort to offer club level rooms, which was pretty great. It's got its own club level lounge, the Kronos Lounge, which you can also see amazing views of the parks from. So it's really great because you get that club level access, but the pricing is really reasonable for that. So you're paying considerably less than you would for club level access at a deluxe resort. And that's just an amazing selling point, if you ask me. So I can't get over it. I'm pretty much always thinking about going back there. It's just got a great vibe to it. So.
Okay, so let's head across Orlando to the other new opening that's a little bit different flavor, huh?
Yeah, so after I checked out of Grandestino, I went on over to Universal Orlando Resort for a stay at the new Endless Summer Resort Surfside Inn and Suites. Yeah, and so this is definitely on the other side of the spectrum. It's the first value hotel, basically, that Universal Orlando has unveiled. It's the first part of a two-part opening with the Surfside Inn and Suites and then Dockside Inn and Suites, which will be opening in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. This is, it's value hotel. It's not located on Universal Orlando Resort property, per se. Every other hotel that they've got on property resides basically in the same chunk of land. This one was built on the old Wet n' Wild water park location. So I think you're roughly about a mile away, but they do offer the free bus access. And I actually found it felt a bit quicker to get to the parks by bus from Endless Summer than it did the times I've taken it from Cabana Bay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's because it's new and they're maybe running more buses out there. I'm not sure. But this is a fun hotel. It's got that 60s surf vibe to it. It's very clean. It's got a lot of bright pastel kind of colors. The theming is definitely not as strong as if you're going to compare it to, say, a Walt Disney World value resort. They definitely didn't go as big with the theming as you would find at like current Walt Disney World values. But if you think about how long it's been since, say, like Pop Century opened, which was in early 2000s, I think 2003, a lot has changed, especially for Disney and Universal, as to how they build hotels. And I would think that if Walt Disney World were to build a new value hotel now, that you would see sort of the same level of offerings.
Yeah, from the looks of it, you know, the rooms look like they're kind of bright and open, they're not shoving a whole bunch of characters or weird stuff at you.
No, definitely not. And it really does feel like the beach houses I used to stay at when I was a kid and we went to Florida. It's definitely got that feel to it. So they succeed in that.
Yeah, because that's the idea, right? The one half is like surf shacks, and then the second half that we'll be opening up is kind of more of like the beach town kind of side of things, like Dockside.
Yeah, to compare them, I would say this one has a more fun vibe to it, and Dockside is supposed to have a more relaxing vibe to it. It's sort of supposed to be that sitting on a dock, you know, drinking tea, looking at the water sort of thing. While Surfside is definitely more of the fun, bright, and poppy feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it's a good option for families, especially if they've got kids that are a little bit more towards tweeny age or a little bit older teenagers.
Yeah, I think definitely. It's got a Starbucks in there, as most Universal hotels do. It's got a pretty nice food court. I was pleased with the food.
Yeah, that was my next question. Always the food is on my mind.
The food court was nice. You know, standard standard fare from theme parks, but definitely wasn't bad. They also have a pretty nice pool bar called the Sandbar, and bartenders were super, super great there. So I was very, very happy to hang out there. And what I think will be another added advantage to the resort itself is when Universal's Epic Universe, their fourth, third, whichever you can consider Volcano Bay to be, their
the official line is the fourth. Right,
their next theme park. When that opens up, it's actually going to be located to the point where Endless Summer is directly in between what is currently Universal Orlando Resort and Epic Universe. So it's going to have a prime location to basically get back and forth between the two. So I'm interested.
So that's really nice at the price point for sure.
Yeah. Cause I mean,
usually you pay a premium to be that close.
Yeah. And if you look at like the concept art for Epic Universe, even though we have no details whatsoever, they do say that, that hotels will be included. And if you look at what is quite obviously their sort of centerpiece hotel, that's definitely not going to be in a value range. So this is going to be a really great option for families on a budget that still want to be able to experience all of that.
Yeah, it's nice to see them actually, it's nice to see them catering to that,
yeah,
to that
yeah.
group. Okay, so let's move on from what has already opened on to some things that are coming up next, which so we're heading back across town to Walt Disney World, and what's on the horizon.
So coming up next on the horizon for Walt Disney World hotels is going to be Disney's Riviera Resort, which is projected to open up on December 16th of this year. It's going to be a European styled DVC resort, which is the Disney Vacation Club. It's going to have basically studios, one bedroom and two bedroom villas, and then three bedroom grand villas as well. It's definitely looking like it's going to be one of their most upscale resorts yet. I mean, they're giving it its own stop on the Disney Skyliner, which will be opening up in September. I think they're really expecting this to be a big draw.
So yeah, a lot of their deluxes that they have, you know, they're gorgeous hotels in their own right, but they're kind of built on a generation older, you know, style. So it seems a big theme in the newest offerings is they're a little bit more modern and fresher approach to these luxury locations, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like I was saying before, with sort of the new style, everything has that sort of clean, I won't say sparse, but they definitely aren't overfilling the room with decor. You know, it's a lot of function over form. And that's, you know, I like that, quite frankly.
And it's nice to have a room that's been thoughtfully, you know, built so that you've got space for your luggage and you've got enough outlets that you can actually reach so that you can charge all 40, you know, devices you've brought with you. Yeah. And you can take a relaxing soak in the soaker tub, or if they have that, or, you know, that, you know, getting ready for the day feels luxurious, which is what they're trying to kind of put forward with the deluxe box.
Yeah. And this one, yeah, like I said, this one is definitely looking up like it's going to be top level. I mean, just the pool itself, it's got this crazy light tower type thing with a slide that goes around it. I mean,
yeah, that slide looks,
yeah,
incredible.
Like that, it's looking amazing. And we know someone who will actually be staying there in December, so hopefully we can get her on after she's stayed there to discuss her stay.
Yeah, we'll definitely be back to talk about that more. Okay, so moving on from there, we've got two more that we don't have a lot of information about yet, but so we still want to talk about them really quickly. So first up, let's talk about there's something new coming around Wilderness Lodge, right?
Yes, another very long name. It's there's going to be a Reflections, a Disney Lakeside Lodge. This is like the Riviera, another deluxe villa DVC resort. This one's actually going in the space where River Country used to be.
And that's kind of the big headline about it so far. That's kind of the most information, what everybody's excited
about.
Yeah,
that and sort of there's only been one piece of concept art released. And it's the first time they're doing something with River Country since it closed. You know, up until now, it's basically been where YouTube people go to get banned from the parks to take videos. So that's as far as they've done anything with. So, there's supposed to be 1,700 new rooms, but really other than that, and that it's going to be located between Wilderness Lodge and Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. But other than that, and right, we've got some nice concept art. It looks nice. It doesn't look like, if you're thinking Wilderness Lodge in your head and even sort of the style of Fort Wilderness, it is definitely not that. It is definitely more modern.
Yeah, it's kind of a modern retreat to the woods.
You know,
right?
Once again, back to the whole clean lines, not heavy on the decor. But it looks beautiful just from that outside photo they released, that outside concept art.
Absolutely. And so then the other big one that everybody is waiting for, we really don't know much about, but you've seen some of the construction progress. So tell me a little bit about the Star Wars.
Yes, hotel. The one that I'm already packing for. So for those that don't know, they're building a Star Wars hotel. Now, we're not too exactly sure on full details other than that this isn't just going to be a hotel where you stay in a room that has, you know, a picture of Chewbacca on the wall. What they're shooting for with this is a fully immersive experience where you're basically living out a Star Wars adventure. Rumors have it that it's going to be limited to a two-night stay. Guests are going to check in and basically feel like they've boarded a spaceship and are going to spend 2 days acting out some sort of adventure with characters, cast members playing characters. And in some way, we've heard it will connect to the experience that they will have at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
That's right, because Galaxy's Edge is supposed to be kind of not just a theme park land. It's supposed to be a role-playing sort of experience where you're writing your part of the story. And so then when you stay at this hotel, you take that story back to the hotel. You take what you've done in the hotel with you when you go to the land, and it all ties together.
Yeah, exactly. We've heard that when Galaxy's Edge opens at Walt Disney World, that your reputation of your actions in the park, say how you drove the Millennium Falcon during the ride, that reputation will follow you throughout the park, where, you know, you may crash the Millennium Falcon and then head over to Oga's Cantina for a drink and be confronted by, you know, one of the hive of scum and villainy, and, you know, he's given you a hard time for crashing the Millennium Falcon, or, you know, heard that you're a good pilot and wants to hire you or something like that. So this is what we think is going to be just a sort of big expansion onto that. The blueprints have its own dedicated shuttle area that will lead directly to a special entrance into Galaxy's Edge. So guests of the hotel won't even have to walk through the rest of the park. So it's interesting. It's basically like cosplay hotel. Is what it stands out to me. And of course, I'm fully on board for that. And they're going to probably have to kick me out. Like, I'm not going to be like, no, I can work here. I can be part of you guys, right? But what's really interesting about it is, when I was down at Walt Disney World last, I drove past the spot in an Uber. It's basically directly behind Galaxy's Edge. And they've been working pretty fast on building it. Most of the structure itself is up. From what I could see, there's only 3 floors to the entire building. And if you combine that with some blueprints that were released recently of just the first floor layout, there's not going to be a lot of rooms. I think we're looking at anywhere between 100 and 200 rooms, meaning that availability for this experience is going to be extremely limited.
Yeah, but they are going to, you know, it's going to be quick turnover if it's, a set two-night stay or whatever it is. So,
I mean, just the concept art alone has me super excited. It looks like they're going to be using projection screens outside the windows for each room to make it look like you really are on a space station floating out in space. It looks like it'll probably be the same that they're using for that space restaurant they're going to be building in Epcot too.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like that restaurant is kind of like a test for how to make it work.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because that's supposed to be opening up by the end of this year.
Yeah. Yep. More stuff to go and see.
I'm sure they'll be able to work on some bugs and kinks at the restaurant. And then, that, you know, you don't want to have to work out details on something as big and innovative as what they're going to try to do with this hotel. You know, it's, you can't shoot yourself in the foot right off the bat. So it's very smart for them to roll this technology out in other places.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting how, when you start paying attention and watching, how it's all connected. One attraction or experience is, you know, kind of prep work for another and lays the ground for what comes next.
Yeah. And I'm curious how they're going to track everything. Obviously, I think it's going to be Magic Band based, but I'm curious how they're going to be, how they're going to use their technology they already have to make it sort of seamless, you know, because you can't, you don't want to walk into the cantina and have that guy come up to you and be like, let me scan your Magic Band. Boop, boop. Says here, you're not, you know, like, that's going to ruin it.
Yeah. Presumably somehow you come through the door and it's got a scanner there, kind of like how, when you, you know, go through Small World, they've got your name.
It never has my name
on the postcards.
It never has my name.
I know, mine either. You know, and E.T. can figure out my name.
E.T. does not like me because he won't say my name either. Every single time I go by, he just stops.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I mean, I'm like, you can call me Jesse. I'm like, I don't even care if you get it wrong. Just say my name, E.T. Come on.
All right. Well, I think we've been talking about hotels long enough. My big takeaway is there's a lot of exciting stuff opening up and on the way, and I've got to start planning a whole lot more trips to Orlando to see it all and sleep on their comfortable beds and eat their delicious food. Yes. So, okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us and listening while we chat about hotels. Hopefully, maybe we gave you some ideas for a trip in the future for yourself. And we'll talk to you again next week. See you later. See you.
Bye.
It's time to close this week's gathering of the Gold Key Adventurers Society. Thank you so much to each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to become a member of our band of explorers, all you have to do is subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're there, go ahead and give us a rating and review, won't you? We'll be eternally grateful. It helps other adventurers find us and helps us grow our show. To ask a question or share your travel story, you can reach us by smoke signal, carrier pigeon, or send an email to goldkeyadventurers@gmail.com. And make sure you follow the Gold Key Adventure Society on Facebook and Instagram. A huge thanks to our sponsor, Key to the World Travel. For all your travel planning needs, visit www.keytotheworldtravel.com for a free quote and help planning the trip of a lifetime. Tell them the Gold Key Adventurers sent you. That's www.keytotheworldtravel.com. Key to the World Travel, your key to a magical vacation. Thanks to Outer Vibe for the use of their song Hoka Hey for the intro and outro of our show. Find them on Facebook at The Outer Vibe or check out www.outervibe.com for tour dates, music, merch, and more. We'll see you next week for another meeting of the Gold Key Adventurers Society. And until then, remember, life is short and the world is wide. So go have an adventure.